الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading from where we had left off. The author, he says, رحمه الله، سؤال، question: ما معنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأسماء الحسنى من أحصاها دخل الجنة؟ What is the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding the most beautiful names of Allah? Whenever he said, whoever enumerates them went to paradise. Whoever enumerates them will went to paradise. Went to paradise. And this narration has proceeded. Inna lillahi tis'atin wa tis'in isma. Miya illa wahida. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. That indeed Allah, He has 99 names, 100 minus 1. Whoever makes al-ihsa of them, he went to paradise. Some wording is likewise, man hafidhaha dakhala al-jannah. Whoever memorized them, he went to paradise. Went to paradise. So what does that mean? Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Or man hafidhaha dakhala al-jannah. Al-ihsa wal-hibr. Al-ihsa, any to enumerate, linguistically, hibr, meaning to memorize. And to preserve, and to preserve. What does that mean, though? What is intended from that? The author, he explains, rahimahullah, al-jawab, the answer, قَدْ فُسِّرَ ذَلِكَ بِمَعَانٍ مِنْهَا حِفْظُهَا وَالدُّعَاءُ اللَّهِ بِهَا وَالثَّنَاءُ عَلَيْهِ بِجَمِيعِهَا وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ مَا كَانَ يَسُوءُ الْاِقْتِدَاءُ بِهِ كَالرَّحِيمِ وَالْكَرِيمِ فَيُمَرِّنُ الْعَبْدُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى أَنْ يُصِحَّ لِهَا أن يصح له الاتصاف بها فيما يليق به وما كان يختص به نفسه وما كان يختص به نفسه تعالى كالجبار والعظيم والمتكبر فعلى العبد الإقرار بها والخضوع لها وعدم التحلي بصفة منها وعدم التحلي بصفة منها. He said, رحمه الله, this statement has been interpreted with several meanings. Among them, to memorize them, supplicate to Allah using them, and praising Him through all of them. And praising Him through all of them. And praising them, Him through all of them. And he says, Rahimahullah, and also from them, and there's some things missing here in the translation, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ مَا كَانَ يَسُوءُ الْاِقْتِدَاءُ بِهِ كَالرَّحِيمِ وَالْكَرِيمِ فَيُمَرِّنُ الْعَبْدُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَصِحَّ لَهُ الْاِتِصَافُ biha fima yaliku bihi fima yaliku bihi, that he mentioned, rahimahullah, and that which is allowed for him to follow, that which is allowed for him to follow, and to take as a role model to follow, like ar-rahim and al-kareem, the most merciful, the most kind or generous, the most noble, then one he should train himself. One, he should train himself to embody those names, the meaning of those names, which is permissible to imitate, such as Ar-Rahim and Al-Kareem, the most merciful and the generous. So the servant, he practices and cultivates those qualities in a manner befitting his human condition. In a manner befitting his human condition. And so here the author, he's referring to the meaning of this. So it's been interpreted a number of meanings. From that, to memorize them and to call on Allah by way of them. And to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of His most beautiful names. With all of His most beautiful names. This is one. And also from the interpretations, he says, and from them, the names that's allowed for him. The name that is permissible for him to follow. He says, al-iqtida, yani to follow. To follow. Allah knows best. The word that should be used here, which is more proper for the context, is wa ma kana. يسوغ له التعبد به التعبد به, يعني to worship Allah with, to worship Allah by way of, يعني to worship Allah by way of these names, like for example Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, or Al-Kareem, the most generous. Then he should practice, cultivate himself upon those qualities, the qualities of mercy and the qualities of generosity, kindness and nobility. So he will worship Allah in this manner, knowing that Allah is the most merciful. He's the most gracious, the most merciful. And when Allah yuhibbu ar-ruhama, that Allah, He loves those who are merciful. That Allah, He loves those who are merciful. And that Allah, He's merciful to those who show mercy. So therefore, a believer, he will strive to be merciful. He will make effort to cultivate that trait, knowing that it's beloved to Allah. And likewise, Allah is Al-Kareem. He's the most generous. He's the most noble and the most kind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves those who are generous. He loves those who are kind. So this is an attribute that Allah loves also from the slaves, from the people. So a believer, he will train himself. He will cultivate himself. He will accustom himself to be generous and to be kind and to have conduct that is noble and not lowly, not base desires and the likes like this. He's saying here in a manner, he will have these qualities. He'll make effort to cultivate himself, to train himself, to accustom himself to have these qualities in a manner befitting his human condition. Of course, we know that Allah, He is the most generous in the manner befitting His majesty at the peak of perfection as has preceded, and the most merciful likewise. So His attributes are befitting for Him and His majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, some of these attributes is lawful and allowed, as He's mentioning here, like these, for a believer to have those traits, and they're suitable for the human being. They're suitable for the human being. So a believer, he will strive to learn these beautiful names and then worship Allah by way of what they require and necessitate. And from that is that Allah, He's the most merciful and He loves those who are merciful. That Allah, He's the most merciful and He loves those who are merciful. Allah, He's the most gentle and kind and He loves those who are kind. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ. Indeed, Allah is the most kind and gentle and He loves those who are gentle. And He loves those who are gentle, subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَرِيمٌ يُحِبُّ الْقُرَبَى. And Allah is the most generous likewise, and He loves those who are generous. And He loves those who are noble. So therefore, believers who will learn these affairs, and he will try and he will strive to cultivate these manners and conducts in himself, any in the manner befitting his condition. He makes a point here, rahimahullah, and he says, as for the names that are unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not suitable for the human being to be ascribed with, like the beautiful name of Allah al-Jabbar, the compeller, and al-Azim, the magnificent, the most great, al-Mutakabbir, the supreme, full of glory and honor. The servant must acknowledge them and acknowledge these beautiful names and these attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from adopting any of their traits. And these are qualities that are specific for Allah azza wa jal. We have seen previously that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Allah, he said, إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ إِزَارِي وَالْعَظَمَةَ رِدَائِي وَمَنْ نَزَعَنِي وَحِدًا مِنْهُمَا عَذَبْتُهُ بِالنَّارِ. عَذَبْتُهُ بِالنَّارِ. That al-izzah, might, is my cloak, is my lower garment, and that is that magnificence or majesty is my cloak, and whoever contends with me in any one of them, I'll punish him in the fire. I'll punish him in the fire. So al-izzah wal-kibriya, and the likes of these traits here that the author he's referring to, these are specific for Allah. And whoever challenges Allah or contends with Allah in the likes of these traits and characteristics, then he will be punished in the fire. Whether it's reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من كبر. That no one went to paradise. That no one went to paradise who has even the particles weight, the atoms weight of pride or arrogance in his heart. Arrogance in his heart. So this is a trait that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al kibriya. له الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is not something that a believer he will feel like. He'll feel like he's the best, and that he's better, and that he's proud, and the people are lower than him, and that he has authority and magnificence, and that he has authority and magnificence and glory. It belongs to him. That's for Allah. This is for Allah. As for some of the other traits and characteristics that Allah has described himself with, likewise, that are also found in the creation, each one suitable for its ascribed to. Each one suitable for it's ascribed to. If it's ascribed to Allah, then it's according to His majesty and His glory and authority. And if it's ascribed to the human being or the creation, then it's according to His weakness and to His sufficiency and to His deficiency and to His situation. You understand that? Allah described the human being as being Sami'un Basir. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ Sami'an Basira. Allah, He mentioned about the human being that Allah, He made him Sami'an Basira. And all He said about Himself, He is As-Sami'un Al-Basir, that He Himself is وَكَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. But the Sama' is not like the Sama', and the Basar is not like the Basar. So likewise, the human being is also being described as being Rahim, and Allah, He loves those who are merciful. We seen the narration in our previous class, إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ في السماء. Show mercy to those who are on the earth, and the one who is above the heavens will show you mercy. نعم، إن الله يحب الرحمة، الله رحيم يحب الرحمة. He is the most merciful, and he loves those who are mercy. He loves those who are merciful. He loves those who are merciful. So if you show mercy, then Allah, he will show you mercy. So this is something that a believer, he will benefit from learning these beautiful names. Learning these beautiful names, some of them, there are also qualities that's lawful or permissible, rather praiseworthy for a person to adorn himself with. Like patience and forbearance and the likes like this, and forgiveness. Allah, he's the most forgiving, and he loves those who forgive. Allah, he's the most pardoning, and he loves those who pardon. Allah, tuhibbuna an yaghfir Allahu lakum. Do not love that Allah should, do not like that Allah should forgive you. And Allah, he's the most forgivable. He's the most forgiving. So if you show forgiveness, Allah, he will forgive you. If you show mercy, Allah, he will show you mercy. If you are forbearing, Allah, he will deal with you in the same manner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for these other traits, like al-kibriya, and like al-azama, and al-izzah, this is for Allah alone. This is for Allah alone. And whoever contends with Allah and the likes of these traits, then he will be punished. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. He says, وَمَا كَانَ فِيهِ مَعْنَى الْوَعْدِ كَالْغَفُورِ الشَّكُورِ الْأَفُورِ الرَّؤُوفِ الْحَلِيمِ الْجَوَّالِ الْكَرِيمِ فَلْيَقِفْ مِنْهُ عِنْدَ الطَّمْعِ وَالرَّغْبَةِ. Names that carry the meaning of promise, promise from Allah, of hope, the promise of hope from Allah, like the most forgiving and the most appreciative, and all pardoner, and the most kind, and the most forbearing, and the most generous. The believer should respond to them with yearning and hope. And if he learns that these are from the beautiful names of Allah, he's the most forgiving. So a believer, he'll be compelled to put his hope in Allah and his trust in Allah, that Allah, he's the most forgiving, he's the most merciful, the most pardoning, he's the most kind. So you will yearn to him. Your heart will be drawn to him with hope. With great hope, hoping for his mercy, hoping for his kindness, hoping for his pardon, hoping for his forbearance, hoping for his generosity, hoping that he will help you, hoping that he will aid you in a life like this. This is how you respond to learning the likes of these names, that he's the most appreciative, and he accepts the smallest of deeds that are done for his sake. So you hope that from him, and you want that from him. You desire that from him, and you worship Allah in this manner, based upon what you have learned about his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. وَمَا كَانَ فِيهِ مَعْنَى الْوَعِيدِ كَالْعَزِيزِ كَعَزِيزٍ الْإِنْتِقَامِ شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ سَرِيعِ الْحِسَابِ فَلْيَقِفْ مِنْهُ عِنْدَ الْخَشْيَةِ وَالرَّحْبَةِ. Names that carry the meaning of the threat of a warning. Names that carry the meaning of threat and warning, such as Al-Aziz, the Almighty, Dhuntiqam, and Al-Aziz, Dhuntiqam, the Almighty, the owner of retribution, شديد العقاب, severe in punishment, سريع الحساب, the swift in reckoning. The believer should respond with fear and reverence. With great fear and reverence, whenever a person, he knows that Allah, he is the Almighty, and he takes retribution from those who violate his limits, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or challenge his authority and command by rebelling against his legislation and law, or disrespecting the limits that he has prescribed and said, that Allah, he is quick in retribution and also swift in taking into account any severe in punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will cause a person to revere Allah and to fear him, and to avoid anything that would lead to his wrath or his punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهَا شُهُودُ الْعَبْدِ إِيَّاهَا وَإِعْطَاؤُهَا حَقَّهَا مَعْرِفَةً وَعُبُودِيَّةً. Another meaning is that the servant bears witness to the names and gives them their due right and knowledge and servitude. And he also from the interpretations. يعني وَمِنْهَا وَمِنْ مَعَانٍ وَمِنَ الْمَعَانِ. يعني that has been interpreted. That this narration has been interpreted with شهود العبد إياها ويعطاؤها حقها ومعرفة وعبودية. ويعطاؤها حقها معرفة وعبودية. Another meaning of من أحصاها دخل الجنة, whoever enumerates them went to paradise, is that the servant bears witness to the names and gives them their due right in knowledge and servitude. And gives them their due right in knowledge and in servitude. He says مثاله من شهد علو الله تعالى على خلقه وفوقيته عليهم واستواءه على عرشه بائنا من خلقه مع إحاطته بهم علما وقدرة وغير ذلك تعبد بمقتضى هذه الصفة بحيث يصير لقلبه صمدا صمدا يعرج إليه مناجيا له مطرقا واقفا بين يديه وقوف العبد الذليل بين يدي الملك العزيز. فيشعر بأن كلمه وعمله صاعدا إليه معروض عليه، فيستحيي أن يسعد إليه من كلمه وعمله ما يخزيه ويفضحه هناك. The example of this, read it again. Example of this, example of what? From the interpretations of this meaning. Whoever enumerates them, memorizes them, learns them, understands them, implements them. Yani the beautiful names of Allah, he went to paradise. He says, شهود العبد إياها وإعطاؤها حقها معرفة وعبودية. Meaning that the servant bears witness to the names. And he witnesses them with his heart. He understands them and realizes them and knows them. Knows them and understands the meanings and gives them their due right in knowledge and servitude. Gives them their due right in knowledge and servitude. مثاله, the example of that. من شهد علو الله تعالى على خلقه وفوقيته عليهم واستواءه على عرشه بائنا من خلقه مع إحاطته بهم علما وقدرة وغير ذلك علما وقدرة وغير ذلك. For example, one who witnesses Allah's highness, the ulu that we have been discussing in our previous classes, one who witnesses Allah's highness and loftiness above His creation, His elevation above His throne, being distinct from His creation, while being distinct separate from His creation, while still encompassing them in knowledge and power, and so on. He worships. And what will he do now? وتعبد بمقتضى هذه الصفة بحيث يسير لقلبه صمدا يعرج إليه مناجيا له مطلقا واقفا بين يديه وقوف العبد الذليل بين يدي الملك العزيز. He said that the one who witnesses this, he worships in accordance with this attribute. His heart ascends to his Lord, addressing him submissively, standing before him as a humble slave before a mighty king. He becomes, then he says, Rahimahullah, فَيَشْعُرُ بِأَنَّ كَلِمَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ صَعِيدٌ إِلَيْهِ مَعْرُوضٌ عَلَيْهِ فَيَسْتَحِي يَسْعَدَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ كَلِمِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ مَا يُخْزِيهِ وَيَفْضَحُهُ هُنَكَ. So he becomes aware that his words and his deeds are being raised to Allah and presented before him. So he feels ashamed that something disgraceful would ascend to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he'll be exposed. He'll be exposed. So by learning these affairs, that Allah is high and lofty above the throne, not inside the creation, completely distinct and separate from the creation, and that the deeds are lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the righteous and good words, a believer, he will become shy of Allah and fear Allah, knowing that Allah can see him wherever he may be, and he will be ashamed that some disgraceful or lowly acts would ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be exposed. He will be exposed. ويشهد نزول الأمر والمراسيم الإلهية إلى أقطار العوالم كل وقت بأنواع التدبير والتصرف من الإماتة والإحياء والإعزاز والإذلال والخفض والرفع والعطاء والمنع وكشف البلاء وإرساله ومداولة الأيام بين الناس إلى غير ذلك من التصرفات في المملكة التي لا يتصرف فيها سواه. مراسيمه نافذة فيها كما يشاء يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان من قداره ألف سنة مما تعدون. He also witnesses and in the slave. He also witnesses with what? With his heart. He also witnesses and with heart, with knowledge, and then with humbleness and servitude. He also witnesses the divine decrees and commands descend continuously to all parts of the worlds, governing affairs such as life and death, honor and humiliation, lowering and raising, giving and withholding, removing and sending calamities, altering the days among the people, and many other affairs in a dominion where none exercises control except Allah. His decrees are enforced as He wills. As Allah says, He manages and regulates every affair from the heavens to the earth, and the affair will go up to Him in a day the measure whereof is 1,000 years of what you reckon. فمن وفى هذا المشهد حقه معرفة وعبودية فقد استغنى بربه وكفى. وكذلك من شهد علمه المحيط وسمعه وبصره وحياته وقيوميته وغيرها ولا يرزق هذا المشهد إلا السابقون المقربون ولا يرزق هذا المشهد إلا السابقون المقربون. So whoever fulfills this witnessing, and with the heart, with true knowledge and servitude, then Allah will suffice him and enrich him through his lordship. Then Allah will suffice him and enrich him through his lordship. Similarly, the one who witnesses Allah's all-encompassing knowledge, hearing and sight, life, self-subsistence, and other such attributes will gain accordingly. But none are blessed with such a station except forerunners, the first and foremost, and those who are brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what he mentions here about what it means. What it means, yani that Allah, he has 99 names, 100 minus 1. Whoever makes al-ihsa or al-hifz, and whoever enumerates them or memorizes them, then he went to paradise. This is what the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this. This is what the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this. Ibn Qayyim, he summarized, and I summarized from what he mentioned, rahimahullah, that it consists of three affairs: that you memorize them, and that you learn and understand the meanings, and what they require and necessitates, and then you actualize the worship and servitude accordingly. You actualize the worship and servitude accordingly. And this is what he's mentioning here, rahimahullah ta'ala. So a person, he must memorize that, he must learn those names and the attributes that they carry, and understand them properly, and according to the majesty of Allah, understand them properly and correctly, and giving Allah his right with regards to that, and then also understanding what they require and necessitate from him, and calling on Allah by way of them, and worshiping Allah by way of them, and surrendering and submitting to Allah, by that knowledge, or through that knowledge of at-tawheed, knowledge of at-tawheed. So we know that Allah, he mentioned about himself, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And Allah, he has the most beautiful names, that Allah, to him belong all of the most beautiful names. So therefore call on him by way of them. So this is with regards to a dua, calling on Allah. Indeed, to Allah belong all of the most beautiful names. So therefore call on him by way of them. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that ad-du'a is two types. Ad-du'a is two types. Who knows that? Du'a, huh? Du'a al-mas'ala and du'a al-ibadah. Du'a al-mas'ala and du'a al-ibadah. Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a work. It's called Al-Qawaid al-Hisan fi Tafsir al-Qur'an. Al-Qawaid al-Hisan fi Tafsir al-Qur'an. And they're amazing, beautiful principles in the explanation of the Qur'an. And in the 51st principle, he mentioned the issue of du'a. And it's very suitable for our class. And for our classes that have preceded, especially this class here coming to an end in these chapters, with regards to the issues with the masail of iman, al-imanu billahi azza wa jal. So alhamdulillah, it's available in the channel. It's translated. Inshallah, we're going to read it now. Barakallah fikum. Take a brief break from the work, but it's directly related. Inshallah, it's very beneficial. Inshallah, it's very beneficial. So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-qa'ida al-hadiya wal-khamsun. Al-qa'ida al-hadiya wal-khamsun. The 51st principle. The 51st principle. Any of the principles with regards to understanding the interpretation of the Quran. Principles with regards to the tafsir of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, rahimahullah, kullu ma warada fi al-Qur'ani min al-amri bi-du'a wal-nahi an du'a ghayri Allah. والثناعي على الداعين يتناول دعاء المسألة ودعاء العبادة. Every place in the Quran where there is a command to supplicate, to make dua, or a prohibition against calling upon other than Allah, or a commendation, praise of those who supplicate, and into Allah, includes both dua المسألة and dua العبادة. The dua of request, invoking Allah Azza wa Jal verbally, and the dua of worship, any of servitude and devotion, and type of invocation by one's state of being with his heart. Asking Allah for one's needs and with his tongue, this is called dua al-mas'ala. Yas'al Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever he wants. And dua al-ibadah is performing actions of worship, which in themselves are a form of supplication. You understand this? Which in themselves are a form of supplication. So a dua, sometimes it's interpreted to mean supplication, right? Or it's interpreted to mean calling on Allah, right? Or it could be interpreted to mean invocation. So invocation is a good word. It's a good word to understand this, because invocation can be in more, understood in more than one way. Example that's clear for me, Alhamdulillah, yani from the worldly affair. From the worldly affair. Like the man on the corner, whenever you stop at the stoplight, he starts washing your windows real fast. He starts washing your windows real fast. What is he doing? Charity? Huh? Charity? He's standing on the corner with the bucket because he wants to do charity? Or does he want something from you? What is he doing? Did he say anything with his tongue? What is he telling you? Huh? He's telling you something, right? Right? You understand from him, not from his tongue, not from his words, but from his actions, that he is asking you for money. He's asking you for money. So he's calling on you. He's calling not verbally, but by his state, by his condition. He's sitting there on the corner, yeah, like that, and he's got a bucket and some rags, and then he starts washing your car all of a sudden without even asking. That's because he's telling you, give me a dollar or something. That's what he's saying. But he's not saying it with his words. You understand? So now he's calling on you, which is a type of invocation, right? He's asking you for something, right? Not worship. Right? He's asking you for something, and that you can give him, and if you're kind enough, right? Could you be so kind to give me a dollar? That's basically what he's saying, right? I'm doing this for free, but I would like it if you give me a dollar or something. That's what he's saying, basically. But there's no word exchange. There's no verbal exchange. You understand? So then sometimes you can call. Maybe some people are like, look, man, can you give me a dollar? I'm hungry. Right? That's called that. Now he's saying it. He's asking for his needs with his tongue. Or he just may start washing the car like that and hope maybe you're going to be kind enough to give him something. So there's two types. This is very clear, right? We go back to ibadah. We go back to our issue. Now we're talking about with our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, a dua. Anytime the dua comes in the Quran, whether it's a command to make dua, an encouragement to make dua into Allah alone, or prohibition from calling on other than Allah, or praisal of those who call on Allah, or commendation or dispraisal of those who call on other than Allah, or a promise for those who call on Allah, or a threat for those who call on other than Allah, what is intended from that call, dua? Both aspects in every verse. Every time it comes, this is what he's saying. Except maybe in certain circumstances, he's going to clarify. So he says this all includes dua al-mas'ala and dua al-ibadah. So he says, وَهَذِهِ قَاعِدَ نَافِعَ. And this is a very beneficial principle. فَإِنَ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا يَتَبَادُرُ لَهُمْ مِنْ لَفْذِ الدُّعَاءِ وَالدَّعْوَةِ دُعَاءُ الْمَسْأَلَ فَقَطْ وَلَا يَظُنُّونَ دُخُولَ جَمِيعَ الْعِبَادَاتِ فِي الدُّعَاءِ. He said this is a very beneficial principle. For most people only think of dua al-mas'ala, supplication while asking, calling with the tongue, when they hear the word dua. When they hear the word dua, the normal people, that's what they think about only. Doesn't cross their mind this other affair behind that. He says they do not realize that all acts of worship fall under the term dua. All acts of worship fall under the term dua. Understand that? How is that? A dua. Huwa al-ibadah. That's the dua huwa al-ibadah. But how is that? It's clear when you call on Allah, this is dua. But whenever you make salat, what are you doing? If it's performed right, are you calling on Allah? You want it to accept from you, right? You're nice to your parents. The woman, she obeys her husband, for example, for the sake of Allah, hoping that Allah accepts, doing it for the sake of Allah, Azza wa Jal. So you're calling on Allah by your good deeds. Calling on Allah by your good deeds. You understand? So it's ibadah. Any action of worship that's done properly is dua. You're calling on Allah. You must realize that. When you make salah, you're calling on Allah. Oh, accept my prayer. Oh Allah, bless me for my prayer. Oh Allah, grant me good in this life and the hereafter for my prayer. Oh Allah, cover my faults and forgive me. I'm praying for your sake. I give charity for your sake. I'm fasting for your sake. Accept my prayer from me. Accept my prayer. Cover my faults. That's what you want whenever you pray. That's what you want whenever you fast. That's what you want whenever you make Umrah, when you make Hajj, when you seek knowledge, when you memorize Quran, when you recite the Book of Allah. Any action of worship, you're calling on Allah. Sometimes verbally and directly with your tongue, other times with your state, whenever it's performed properly. As for those who are heedless, then it's another issue. That's another issue. Huh? You understand that? Because the heart is the one calling through the actions. But if the body is doing the actions, but the heart is not calling Allah, then there's deficiency in that action. You understand that? So he says, Rahimahullah, وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى عُمُومِ ذَلِكَ. And the evidence indicating the generality of this is قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord said, invoke me, call on me, and I'll respond to you. And I'll respond to your invocation. Many believe in my oneness and ask me for everything. Worship me alone. The Shaykh, he says, رَحِمُهُ meaning, أَسْتَجِبْ طَلَبَكُمْ وَتَقَبَّلْ عَمَلَكُمْ. ثم قال تعالى, he said, meaning that means I will answer your request and I will accept your deeds. ادعوني استجب لكم. Call on me, I'll respond to you. Meaning I will answer your requests and I will accept your efforts. And I will accept your efforts. And then he says, سبحانه وتعالى ثم, then he says, رحمه الله ثم قال تعالى. Then he said, سبحانه وتعالى إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين. And then Allah, he says, in verity, those who scorn my worship, they will surely enter the hellfire and humiliation. So the first part of the verse is about dua. And the second part of the verse is about worship. So the dua is being called worship. Allah is calling the dua worship. We understand that. With وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Whenever your Lord, he said, call on me, I'll respond to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Indeed, those who scorn, they're too proud for my worship. What is the worship here? Dua. 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 سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِلِينَ. They're going to enter the hellfire and humiliation. The Shaykh, he says, رحمه الله, فَسَمَّ ذَلِكَ عِبَادَةً. So Allah, he described this as ibadah. He described the dua, calling on him, as ibadah. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الدَّاعِيَ دُعَاءَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ يَطْلُبُ مَسْؤُولَهُ يَطْلُبُ مَسْؤُولَهُ بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ. This is because the one who makes dua, mas'ala, the supplication, invocation of request, seeks his need from Allah with his tongue. وَالْعَابِدُ يَطْلُبُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ الْقَبُولَ وَالثَّوَابِ وَمَغْفِرَةَ ذُنُوبِهِ بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ. And the one who engages in dua, ibadah, supplication of, or supplication, invocation of worship, seeks from his Lord acceptance, reward, and forgiveness of his sins with his state of being, with his state of worship, not with his tongue. Not with his tongue. He says, Rahimahullah, فَلَوْ سَأَلْتَ أَيَّ عَابِدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ مَا قَصْدُكَ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَصِيَامِكَ وَحَجِّكَ وَأَدَّائِكَ لِحُقُوقِ اللَّهِ وَحَقِّ الْخَلْقِ. If you were to ask any sincere believing worshiper, what is your purpose in your prayer, fasting, hajj, fulfilling the rights of Allah and the right of his creation? He says, Rahimahullah, لَكَانَ قَلَبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ نَاطِقًا قَبْلَ أَن يُجِيبَكَ لِسَانُهُ بِأَنَّ قَصْدِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ رِضَى رَبِّي وَنَيْلُ ثَوَابِهِ وَالسَّلَامَةُ مِنْ إِقَابِهِ. He says, the heart of the believer would speak before his tongue, my purpose is the pleasure of my Lord, attaining his reward and safety from his punishment. And that's why I'm praying. That's the purpose of my prayer, the purpose of my fast and my hajj, and fulfilling all of the rights of Allah and the rights He has given to the creation. I do that seeking the pleasure of my Lord, hoping to attain His reward and be safe from His anger and punishment. وَلِهَذَا كَانَتَ نِيَّةُ شَرْطًا لِصِحَةِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَقَبُولِهَا وَإِثْمَارِهَا الثَّمَرَةِ الطَّيِّبَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This is why the intention and niyyah is a condition for the validity and acceptance of the deeds and for their beneficial fruits to be obtained in this life and in the hereafter. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High, He said, فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَوَضْعُوا كَلِمَةَ دِينَ مَوْضِعَ كَلِمَةَ عِبَادَةَ وَهُوَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ كَثِيرًا جِدًّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ الدُّعَاءَ هُوَ لُبُّ الدِّينِ وَرُوحُ الْعِبَادَةِ. He said, Rahimahullah, and Allah the Most High, he says, so call upon Allah, making the religion sincerely to Him. Ud'u Allah mukhlisina lahu ad-deen. Call on Allah, invoke Allah, making the deen sincerely and purely, wholeheartedly for Him alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh he mentioned, Rahimahullah. Here the word deen, religion, is used in place of worship, ibadah, which shows that dua is the essence, is the very essence and life of the religion. Is the very essence and life of the religion. You understand that? فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ يعني مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الْعِبَادَةِ. That's the meaning he's saying, rahimahullah. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ, call on Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الْعِبَادَةِ. That's the meaning of the verse. Call on Allah, making the ibadah sincerely and purely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah. But instead of saying ibadah, he called ibadah deen. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. The Sheikh Rahimahullah, he's deriving from that this is an indication that dua is the very essence and life of the religion. The very essence and life of the religion. That's why you find the enemies of Islam trying to divert the believers away from dua to Allah and making dua to anything besides Allah, like a grave or a dead man or a righteous person or someone they like. And the likes like this, by highlighting the best part, the greatest aspect, the dua, the tawheed, calling on Allah alone. Your heart is attached to Allah alone. You worship Allah alone. You seek Allah alone. You hope Allah alone. You trust Allah alone. You fear Allah alone. You obey Allah alone. Absolutely. They want to take that away from the tawheed, away from Allah too. To the creation, to corrupt the creed, and to invalidate the shahada, so that the people will be gathered in the hellfire with the other billah. This is from the ways of the devil and the misguided and the deviant. So again, this is also this understanding here. It's supported by other evidence, like the hadith of brother he mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a, this is ibadah. Ad-du'a, it is ibadah. Mukh al-ibadah." This is a weak version. This wording here is weak. Although the meaning is true. The meaning of the word mukh here is lubb. Lubb ibadah is the essence. The mukh is the essence. The essence of ibadah. The essence of ibadah. The authentic wording is ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. And the meaning is the same. It's the essence, it's the true reality of ibadah. So if we understand now what he's talking about, every action of worship that's performed properly with the pillars of worship in the heart established, arkan at-ta'abud al-qalbiyyah, love, hope, and fear. While performing the action of worship, the heart is alive when he prays, when he gives charity, whenever he fasts, whenever he makes the pilgrimage, whenever he makes umrah, whenever he seeks knowledge, whenever he recites the Quran, his heart is alive with love, hope, and fear. Now he's truly calling on Allah. He's truly calling on Allah, even if he's not calling with his tongue. So that's worship. That's worship. The worship is dua. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Fadu'u Allah mukhlisina lahu al-deen. Call on Allah. And you worship Allah. Devote yourself to Allah. Surrender to Allah. Obey Allah. Absolutely. Making the deen, making the ibadah, making the dua purely for Allah alone. Don't fall on anyone else. Not with your tongue and not with your deeds. Not with your tongue, not with your heart, and not with your deeds. Only call on Allah. He says, "Rahimahullah wa ma'an al-ayah huna akhlisu lahu idha talabtum hawaijakum wa akhlisu lahu a'mal al-birri wa ta'a." The meaning of the verse is, be sincere to Allah when you ask your needs, and be sincere to Him in your deeds of righteousness and obedience, and you make them purely for Allah alone. When you request and you call, you make it purely for Allah. You call on Allah. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ. This is the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you make your dua, your talab, your request. When you ask Allah. You ask Allah. And whenever you do work righteous and good deeds, and whenever you perform actions of obedience, you do them for Allah. He said, وَقَدْ يُقَيَّدُ أَحْيَانًا بِدُعَاءٍ طَلَبْ كَقَوْلِهِ فَدَعَ رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. Sometimes there are certain exceptions where it is restricted to dua al-mas'ala, the supplication of request. As in his saying, the Most High, so he invoked his Lord saying, I am overpowered, so help me. I am overpowered, so help me. And here he's saying this is specific to dua al-mas'ala. But in reality, he himself likewise is calling on Allah, because the action of dua, It's an action. He's humbling himself before Allah. But he's saying here, this is specific. Dua and masad. He's calling with his tongue. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الْضُرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمَةً الآية فَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ دُعَى طَلَبْ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَزَالُ مُلِحًا بِلِسَانِهِ سَائِلًا دَفْعَ ضَرُورَتِهِ. As for his statement, the Most High, and when harm touches man, he invokes us, lying on his side or sitting or standing. And in every circumstance, he begins to remember Allah now because hardship has befallen him. So he calls on Allah and invoking him left and right. He said, this includes dua al-masada, the supplication of requests. For he continuously pleads with his tongue, asking for his hardship to be removed. وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ دُعَى الْعِبَادَةِ فَإِنَّ قَلْبَهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالِ يَكُونُ رَاجِيًا طَامِئًا مُنْقَطِعًا عَنْ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ عَلِمًا أَنَّهُ لَا يَكْشِفُ مَا بِهِ مِنَ السُّوءِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَهَذَا دُعَاءُ الْإِبَادَةِ. And it includes likewise dual ibadah, supplication of worship, invocation of worship. For in such a state, his heart is hopeful and longing, cut off from everything besides Allah, knowing with certainty that none can remove his distress and hardship, his distress and hardship except Allah. And this is dua al-ibadah. And this is dua al-ibadah. He said, Rahimahullah, wa qawluhu, ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya, yadkhulu fihi al-amran. And as for the statement of Allah the Most High, invoke your Lord with humility and in secret. He said this includes both types. This includes both types. He says, Rahimahullah, فَكَمَا أَنَّ مِنْ كَمَالِ دُعَاءِ الطَّلَبِ كَثْرَةُ التَّضَرُّعِ وَالْإِلْحَامِ وَإِظْهَارُ الْفَقْرِ وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ وَإِخْفَاءُ ذَلِكَ وَإِخْلَاصُهُ. Just as the perfection of dua, mas'ala, the invocation of request, is in frequent humility, persistence, displaying poverty and neediness in front of Allah, and in concealing and purifying it, making it sincerely for the sake of Allah, فَكَذَلِكَ الدُّعَاءُ الْعِبَادَةِ. Then likewise, the perfection of dua al-ibadah in the invocation of worship. فَإِنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لَا تَتِمُّ وَلَا تَكْتَمِلُ إِلَّا بِالْمُدَاوَمَةِ عَلَيْهَا وَمُقَارَنَةِ الْخُشُوعِ وَالْخُضُوعِ لَهَا وَإِخْفَائِهَا وَإِخْفَائِهَا وَإِخْلَاصِهَا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. Likewise, the perfection of dua al-ibadah is through persistence in acts of worship, combining them with humility and submission, concealing them and making them sincerely for Allah alone. كَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ أَنْ خُلَاصَةِ الرُّسُلِ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا فَإِنَّ الرَّغْبَةَ وَالرَّحْبَةَ وَصْفٌ لَهُمْ كُلَّمَا طَلَبُوا وَسَأَلُوا وَوَصْفٌ لَهُمْ كُلَّمَا تَعَبَّدُوا وَتَقَرَّبُوا بِأَعْمَالِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْقُرَبِ. He says, and likewise his statement about the chosen messengers, the best of them. Verily, they used to hasten to do good deeds, and they used to call on us with hope and fear. And they used to call on us with hope and fear. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. The prophets and messengers, the messengers, عليهم الصلاة والسلام, indeed they used to hasten to Allah with good deeds. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا, calling on us with great hope and fear. He said, Rahimahullah, this hope, this raghbah, and this fear, reverence, rahbah, is their description both in their requests and supplications, and in their acts of worship and drawing closer to Allah through good deeds and actions of devotion. In their description in supplicating and calling on Allah for their needs was with great hope and great fear, reverence for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, their state of worship, and ibadah, ubudiyah, servitude, devotion, was in the same manner, with great hope, with great reverence and fear, and honor, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا. وَقَوْلُهُ وَمَنْ يَدْعُو مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Now he's moving on to the other point that he mentioned. Likewise, when dua comes in the Quran and it's forbidden to call on others besides Allah. He says, Rahimahullah, and likewise the statement, the Most High, and whoever invokes or worships, and وَمَنْ يَدْعُو مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. And whoever invokes, and in Muhsin Khan, what did he say in parentheses? Or worships. You understand how he understands that interpretation now? And why that's in parentheses there? Because it's an applied meaning. Why? Because dua, when it comes in the Quran, is referring to dua al-mas'ala and dua al-ibadah. Both of them are included. Wale? That's why we praise and thank Allah for having the translation of Sheikh Taqi ibn al-Hilali and Dr. Muhsin Khan. Alhamdulillah, Salafi scholars, especially Sheikh Taqi ibn al-Hilali, rahimahullah, a great Salafi scholar, a master in language likewise. Strong on the manhaj, and clarifying and refuting falsehood of the Jews and Christians, and likewise the Sufi and the deviant sects, and he's a master of language, a number of languages, rahimahullah, from them, first and foremost, the Arabic language, and also the English language, alhamdulillah. And whoever invokes any or worships, besides Allah, any other ilah, any other god, of whom he has no proof for, then his reckoning is only with his Lord. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And the statement of Allah the Most High. So do not invoke anyone along with Allah. Do not call him with your tongue. Do not hope in him and worship him. Likewise with your actions and deeds. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ. يَشْمَلُ دُعَى الْمَسْأَلَةِ وَدُعَى الْعِبَادَةِ. In the statement of Allah the Most High. And do not invoke any other ilah along with Allah do not invoke any other god along with Allah. These verses include both dua al-masala and dua al-ibadah. And dua al-ibadah. فَكَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ طَلَبَ مِنْ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ حَاجَةً لَا يَقْدُرُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ وَكَافِرٌ فَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ عَبَدَ مَعَ اللَّهِ غَيْرَهُ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ وَكَافِرٌ. Just as whoever asks from other than Allah a need that none but Allah can fulfill is a mushrik and a disbeliever. Likewise, whoever worships others along with Allah Azza wa Jal, he's a mushrik and a disbeliever. If he makes dua for anyone other than Allah in any manner, with his tongue or with his state of being, you understand that? Making dua, any worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal. Ad-du'a hu al-ibadah. Ad-du'a hu al-ibadah. If he devotes any of the dua, any of the worship, any of the invocation, calling on anyone besides Allah with his tongue, with his state of being, then he's a mushrikun kafir. Any with the principles that we know with regards to that. Yani, and the difference between major and minor shirk and major and minor disbelief, so on and so forth. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَمِثْلُهُ وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ كُلُّ هَذَا يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ الْأَمْرَانِ. And likewise, his statement, the Most High, do not invoke besides Allah any that will anyone that will neither profit you nor hurt you. But if in case you did so, you shall certainly be of the wrongdoers, the polytheists. And this is a threat. The Prophet, he's being addressed here. And it's so that the people will take a lesson from that. So that the people will take a lesson from that. All of this includes both the fears. And in dua al-masada and dua al-ibadah. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى in the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا يَشْمَلُ الدُّعَى الْمَسْأَلَ وَدُعَى الْعِبَادَةِ. And he says, in the statement of Allah the Most High, and all of the most beautiful names belong to Allah, so call on Him by way of them. This encompasses both dua al-mas'ala and dua al-ibadah. And dua al-ibadah. This is the point we want to get to from our lesson tonight. This is the issue that we're discussing. Calling on Allah by His beautiful names. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, أَمَّا دُعَى الْمَسْأَلَ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي كُلِّ مَطْلُوبٍ بِاسْمٍ يُنَاسِبُ ذَلِكَ الْمَطْلُوبِ وَيَقْتَضِيهِ. As for dua al-masala, calling with the tongue for your needs, a person, he asks Allah, the Most High, in every need by the name that is most suitable and appropriate for his request. فَمَنْ سَأَلَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَغْفِرَتَهُ دَعَاهُ بِاسْمِ الْغَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَنْ سَأَلَ الرِّزْقَ سَأَلَهُ بِاسْمِ الرَّزَّاقِ وَهَكَذَا. So whoever asks for Allah's mercy and forgiveness, he invokes him with his names, Al-Ghafoor, the most forgiving, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. And whoever asks for provision, he calls upon him with his name, Ar-Razak, the provider, and so on and so forth like this. Ar-Razak, Al-Mannan, Al-Wahhab, Al-Kareem, you call it Ya Rabb, like this, with these beautiful names. Because that's what these names indicate, that Allah, He is Al-Wahhab, He provides and bestows. That Allah, He is Al-Kareem, He's the most generous and kind. And you call him and you want forgiveness, you want mercy, you want repentance. You call on Allah by these names. You need help, you need power, you need strength. And Nasir, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz. You ask for might, you ask for strength, you ask for help, you ask for aid from Allah by the beautiful name that's suitable for your request. And many of them we've seen, they have similar meanings or meanings are close. So you call on by more than one name. You don't just say Razak, you say Razak, Ya Kareem, Ya Ra'uf, Ya Rahim. Like this, and you continue, you're persistent time after time, over and over and over, until your eyes are crying, your eyes are running on the ground in tears. And this is the best part of life. This is the best part of life. This is the sweetness of Tawheed. When you break down before Allah Azza wa Jalla, He grants you the ability to fall in prostration and to beg Him and to know that your life and everything you need is in His hands and you seek Him alone. This is the sweetness of Iman. May Allah grant us the sweetness of Iman. So it says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, وَأَمَّا دُعَى الْعِبَادَةِ. As for dua al-ibadah, فَهُوَ تَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى بِأَسْمَائِهِ الْحُسْنَى فَيَفْحَمُ أَوَّلًا مَعْنَى ذَلِكَ الْإِسْمِ الْكَرِيمِ ثُمَّ يُدِيمُ اسْتِحْضَارَهُ بِقَلْبِهِ حَتَّى يَمْتَلِئَ قَلْبُهُ مِنْهُ. Allahu Akbar. He says, as for dua al-ibadah, the dua of worship, it is to worship Allah the Most High through His most beautiful names. One first must understand the meaning of the noble name, then constantly keep it present in his heart, and he remembering it over and over. Allah, he can hear you. Allah, he can see you. Allah, he knows you. You can't hide from him. Alimun bi dhati sudur, allamu al-ghuyub, Subhanallah, la takhfa alayhi khafi. You know this. You don't forget this. This is something that you live with when you wake up and when you go to sleep. You don't forget it. You're not heedless. It's not on the back burner. It's not on the back. It's something on your mind. You realize you know. And the adhkar in the morning and the evening are going to help you. And the salat likewise is going to be a means to assist you. You'll find strength in that. You'll find strength in that. You'll find strength in the prayer when it's performed properly. You remember Allah properly. So you first understand the meaning of the beautiful name. Then constantly keep it present in your heart and do not fall heedless until the heart becomes full of that. Full of that understanding and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْأَسْمَاءُ الدَّالَةُ عَلَى الْعَظَمَةُ وَالْجَلَاءُ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءُ تَمْلَأُ الْقَلْبَ تَعْظِيمًا وَإِجْلَالًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. The names that indicate greatness, majesty, and supremacy fill the heart with great reverence and veneration for Allah the Most High. وَالْأَسْمَاءُ الدَّالَةُ عَلَى الرَّحْمَةِ وَالْفَضْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ تَمْلَأُ الْقَلْبَ طَمَعًا فِي فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَجَاءً لِرُوحِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ. And the names that indicate mercy, bounty, and kindness fill the heart with desire, great desire for the bounty of Allah and hope for His relief and mercy. وَالْأَسْمَاءُ الدَّالَةُ على الود والحب والكمال تملأ القلب محبة وودا وتألها وإنابة لله تعالى. And the names that indicate affection, love, and perfection fill the heart with love, devotion, attachment, and turning in repentance and devotion to Allah, turning in repentance and servitude to Allah, the Most High. He said, رحمه الله والأسماء الدالة على ساعة علمه ولطيف خبره ولطيف خبره وخبره وتوجب للعبد مراقبة الله تعالى والحياء منه. And the names that indicate the vastness of his knowledge and the subtlety of his awareness oblige the servant to be ever watchful of Allah to feel shy before him. وهذه الأحوال التي تتصف بها القلوب هي أكمل الأحوال وأجل وصف يتصف بها القلب وينصبغ به ولا يزال العبد يمرن نفسه عليها حتى تنجذب نفسه وروحه بدواعيه منقادة راغبة وبهذه الأعمال القلبية تكمل الأعمال البدنية. These states, circumstances and situations in the heart with which the hearts become characterized are the most complete of states. Are the most complete of states or circumstances and the noblest description with which the heart can be adorned. A servant continues to train and accustom himself upon them until his soul and spirit are drawn wittingly and eagerly toward them. By means of these inward heart-based actions, the outward bodily deeds are perfected. فنسأل الله تعالى أن يملأ قلوبنا من معرفته ومحبته والإنابة إليه فإنه أكرم الأكرمين. So we ask Allah the Most High to fill our hearts with knowledge of Him, love for Him, and turning to Him in repentance. For indeed He is the most generous of those who show generosity and the most bountiful of those who bestow bounty and favor. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.